This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Browns have been busy. Quarterbacks on parade in Berea. And gentleman who's been writing all about it joins us right now. He's Nate Ulrich from the Beacon Journal and Ohio.com. Hi, Nate.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you very much. Lamar Jackson in town today, and I posed the question why. And that had nothing to do with Lamar's abilities, because I think Lamar's really, really a good football player. I don't like the way he throws the ball in particular, but boy, can he run it, and he could end up being a really good NFL quarterback. But why is he here if the Browns have the first and fourth picks?
Well, what if he slides out of the first round, and you're sitting there early in the second round, and you're intrigued by this guy, and you know how valuable quarterbacks are, and you also know that quarterbacks bust all the time? I think that's why. I think you got to do your due diligence, and you never know what could happen. And they see him as a dynamic playmaker, obviously a dual threat, who at the very least is going to win in a lightning in the bottle scenario. And if he ends up being better than that, then that'll be great for him in his career. But I think that he is going to make a difference in the NFL, and I think the Browns think that he's going to be that way too. So just in case something weird happens, you got to do your homework on these guys.
Nate, Andy threw that out earlier, and I've said I think it'd be a great idea if they drafted two quarterbacks. My thought was first round, fourth round, something like that. Maybe if somebody drops in the third, you trade back up. If they took Lamar Jackson in the second round, man, that would be fun. Wouldn't that? I think it's unlikely, but wouldn't it be fun if you drafted a guy at number one and drafted Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, I think it's unlikely too, Jeff. I'm just saying that, you know.
No, I get it.
Who knows? And I think it would be fun because I happen to like Lamar Jackson a lot more than I think a lot of people do when you talk about these quarterbacks. I think he's going to be making an impact in the NFL. And at minimum, I do think he's going to catch that lightning in the bottle. You know, the question is he going to be able to stay healthy? So many of these guys, you know, we just had RG3 here in town a couple of years ago. So many of these guys who have that you know, mobility in their game and really use their legs a lot, we know that they don't hold up a lot, you know, very often in the NFL physically. So that's really going to be the question. But I think he is going to, at minimum, you know, definitely do some damage when he's in there early in his career.
Nate, no way they don't draft a quarterback at one, right? Is it possible that they don't?
No, I cannot imagine it.
Okay.
I think it's quarterback all the way at one.
I look at the scenarios and I'm just trying to, you know, you talk about needs and best players available. And, you know, we had this fan huddle last night and that question comes up every once in a while. And I'm like, they have to draft a quarterback at one, don't they? You know?
Yeah, they do. They do. And you know what? If there's ever any question, when the Jets trade up to number three, that question went away. Because all of a sudden, if you wait till four, then you know, you're not going to get your first choice, or at least you're taking the risk that you're not going to get your first choice. And you cannot take that risk when you're this organization that's been looking for that guy at that position for 25 years. You just cannot settle for your second favorite quarterback. You have to be able to dictate that decision. And the only way you do that is at number one. So I fully expect it to be number one. And Hugh Jackson and John Dorsey, well, John Dorsey plays his cards a little better than Hugh, I think. But at the owners' meeting, I feel like everybody spoke as if, yeah, it's going to be a quarterback at one. I recently just talked to James Franklin, the Penn State coach, and I'm going to be writing about him, hopefully getting that up today online. But he's still lobbying for his guy, of course, Saquon Barkley, to be the number one overall pick. And his argument is there isn't a no-brainer at quarterback. You have questions about all these guys, and my guy, you don't have any questions about, so he's less risky. Take him. But, you know, I know that's going to excite a lot of Browns fans because a a lot of them love to present that argument. But the bottom line is quarterback is just far more important than any position, and certainly, you know, running back's not even close. So, yeah, it's going to be quarterback at one.
Nate Ulrich joining us, covers the Browns for the Beacon Journal and Ohio.com. Well, we had Andrew Brandt on the show yesterday, who was a vice president with the Packers while John was there, while Elliot Wolf was there, and now writes with Monday Morning Quarterback. And he said he sat there in the draft room when they took Aaron Rodgers. And he said, on the right, you had the coaching staff screaming, we cannot take this guy because he can't help us, because they had Favre. And on the left, you had the personnel department saying, he's the guy, the only number one rated guy we still have left on our board. We must be true to our board. And he told that story in response to what's John's philosophy going to be on draft day. And I thought that was really interesting. And I think, you tell me, could that lead to some out-of-the-box thinking from the Browns with John Dorsey on draft day? Because that's the way they did it in Green Bay, and clearly the Packers, maybe more than any other franchise, a team built through the draft.
That's a great story. I hadn't heard that one. I listened, but I did not catch him on there, and I think Andrew has a lot of great insight. And I think that we're kind of playing around with the Lamar Jackson what if earlier. That's a great example. If he's there at 33 and you had him as a later first round guy, you know, that's exactly the scenario that, you know, would bring that story to mind that Andrew told. So I think it applies to maybe Bradley Chubb. You know, you just drafted a defensive end 2 years ago, 32nd overall, so he's essentially a first-round pick, and Emmanuel Ogba, and then you draft another one in Myles Garrett last year, number one overall. But I think that most people would agree that, you know, another dominant defensive end would be really good, and you're going to figure out a way to use all those guys plenty anyway. So I think that would be part of the thinking there. You know, so, yeah, I get what you're saying, and you know, that's definitely part of, you know, John Dorsey's upbringing and something to keep in mind.
Here's another interesting thing he said yesterday. I'd love to get your take on this. So he said that he thought that Dorsey knows who he wants. And I've read a couple stories today that people say the Browns are still kind of up in the air on who they want. And there's a guy that spent 10 years with him. And so I guess my point is, if he knows who he wants and maybe knew who he wanted even before he took the job, who would that be? And could it be Baker Mayfield?
Could it be Baker Mayfield? It's possible. You know,
Do you think he knows who he wants? Start there.
I think he knows who he wants, but I think it's a little bit more complicated than that.
Okay.
When you're the GM, you have to, you know, you have to meet with everybody and figure out how your coaching staff views it, how that guy's going to fit into their system. You know, you have Todd Haley now, and he's going to have a huge say in this. And so I think you have to put all that in the hopper and figure out that way. But ultimately, this is John Dorsey who's going to be making the pick. So what he wants is more important than what anyone else wants. And that's why I think, you know, he's playing his cards close to his vest. I think Hugh Jackson, I'm really convinced that Hugh Jackson wants Sam Darnold. But, you know, what does John Dorsey want? Now, this is an interesting conversation, guys. Obviously, the drumbeat is grown louder and louder for Josh Allen being a possibility at number one. And I think it's all driven by people like Peter King, for instance, talking to, you know, executives or coaches who have worked with John Dorsey in the past and looking at his history and what he likes. And looking at Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes and seeing the crazy strong arm and then looking at Josh Allen and say, well, that's the type. That's John Dorsey's type. I get all that, but I think it might be more complicated than that. And maybe, you know, people who kind of focus on that might be focusing on that too much. And here's just one idea I'll bounce off you. Okay, so all those guys, Favre, Rodgers, Mahomes, huge arms. You know what else, though? Great at throwing on the move, throwing off platform, off balance, and being accurate in that way. And guess what? Sam Darnold does that better than anyone else in this draft class, not Josh Allen. Josh Allen, that's not his strength at all. As we know, the completion percentage and the accuracy were not very good at all at Wyoming, and certainly not You know, the ability to do that on the move, not even close to Darnold.
Nate Ulrich joining us from the BeaconJournalOhio.com. Dez Bryant released by the Cowboys today, Nate. If you're the Browns, do you have any interest?
I don't think they – I don't see it. I don't think they will. You know, we know the history of Josh Gordon trying to make sure he remains available to play focused and motivated is a huge undertaking. And, you know, obviously there's a history there with Dez Bryant. You know, and I just don't think you would want to take that on as an organization.
And let me go back to something you said a minute ago about Hugh and Sam Darnold, that you think Sam Darnold is his guy. Is it the USC connection, or is there more to it?
It's a little bit of that. I think it's also, you know, I think I told you guys this the last time we talked, but just to reiterate, I think when you're a coach and you worked with quarterbacks your whole career like you, and they all have flaws, right? I think you look at the guy who you think you can help the most. And I think when he looks at that completion percentage and the accuracy problems that Allen has, he said on the record, that's something you never think you can totally fix. And when you're picking a guy at number one overall, that makes you uneasy as a coach. But Darnold's huge flaw is what, the 22 interceptions, the 21 fumbles in 27 games at USC. But Hugh has said that he thinks he can really help him. You know, some of it's as simple as two hands on the ball in the pocket to clean up those fumbles. Are they going to be eliminated altogether? No, but Hugh thinks that you can really, you know, clean that up a lot easier than you can with completion percentage. Completion percentage is one of those things that Hugh thinks that, yeah, you can get better, but you can't really solve it. It's always going to creep up. It's always going to be an issue for a guy. Hey, so that's a main reason.
Yeah, you know what? I'm thinking, as you're saying this, I'm wondering, and I know Tyrod Taylor's not here to be a coach, but isn't that what Tyrod Taylor does best, all those things that need to be fixed?
No doubt. Yeah, he takes care of the ball, guys. I mean, he had, I think, six turnovers. I think four picks and two lost fumbles last year. He had six, and you know, Kizer had 28. Now, I know it's a rookie quarterback against a veteran, but just if you think about those numbers, you would think that you just put Tyrod Taylor and his ability to take care of the ball, and that would have been a difference in some of the games. So that's huge. And another thing, Jeff, real quick, I think this is noteworthy too. Hugh Jackson loves Carson Palmer and just loves him, recruited him, USC, just thinks so much of him. And Jordan Palmer's obviously training Sam Darnold and Josh Allen. Jordan Palmer has said that Sam Darnold reminds him so much of his older brother Carson. So I think that maybe even more than the USC thing, it's that kind of comparison that's coming from a sibling who played quarterback himself in the NFL, and I think that's in the back of Hugh's mind too.
Nate,
good stuff.
Sleep up. You've got a lot of work ahead of you.
I'll try, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Nate Ulrich, BeaconJournalOhio.com, covers the Browns, and always good to have him join us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.